B-Pod Studios.
Download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show, live from spring training in Clearwater, Florida, on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, it's Mike Missinelli here to tell you about spring. It's right around the corner, and I know my lawn is about to look amazing because my guys at Natural Lawn be on their way to work their magic. It's simple. I want greener grass and fewer weeds. When the dog's running around, I want to make sure it's safe out there, too. But that usually comes at the expense of keeping it really green and healthy. Well, Natural Lawn of America uses safer organic-based lawn care products that actually reduce the amount of chemicals used on your lawn. And with Natural Lawn, you won't have to sacrifice beauty for safety. So I'll get a greener lawn that's also safe for the pup. For over 25 years, Natural Lawn's been recognized as the leader in organic-based lawn care. If you're in PA or Jersey, Natural Lawn's customized treatment will give you the lush green lawn you've always wanted. Natural Lawn offering $100 off their full service program. That's $100 off. Call Natural Lawn today for a greener lawn with fewer weeds and tell them Mike Missinelli sent you. Call 855-LAWN-CARE. That's 855-LAWN-CARE. It's Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
There's just one sports station in Philadelphia for the Sixers.
Simmons in the Joe, two-hand jam. Joel Embiid knocking it out here in Philadelphia.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Small business owners sometimes go broke. My first business startup in the 80s was a fledgling startup story. Credit cards were maxed, car had bald tires, house had broken windows, and my employees got paid before I did. But my diet of hot dogs and mac and cheese was to die for. Hi, I'm Mike Cappell, founder and CEO of Patriot Software. My business startup was messy. Actually, I was broke. My wife and I lived on fumes for 4 years. To escape our financial reality, we played board games and dreamt of someday owning our own Boardwalk and Park Place. That's why I created my fifth successful company, Patriot Software, to help small business owners do their payroll without going broke. And if you need help, we will help you for free. Go to PatriotSoftware.com and enter promo code RADIO, and I'll give you 2 months of payroll processing free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
There are more than 550 miles on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, every one of them clearly marked. And each of those bright green mile markers is a key to safety. Let's say the unexpected happens and you dial star 11 for emergency assistance. They need to know if you're at mile 243 or mile 324. So remember the mile markers on the PA Turnpike and don't forget the keys to safety.
Shopping for a new Honda? Look no further than J.L. Fried Honda on Route 309 in Montgomeryville. Family owned since 1883. J.L. Fried Honda on Route 309 in Montgomeryville has provided an outstanding ownership experience for over 135 years. A proud recipient of the 2017 President's Award and located just 1 mile north of the Montgomery Mall on Route 309. Visit jlfriedhonda.com, where value meets personal service.
J.L. Fried Honda, Montgomeryville.
Let's think about customization presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual customizes your auto insurance so you only pay for what you need. So why can't more things in life be customizable? Why can't I buy Neapolitan ice cream without strawberry? Can't I just have the chocolate and vanilla flavors I'm comfortable with? Do people even want a fruity ice cream flavor sandwiched right between the classics?
Go to LibertyMutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer.
Over 10,000 people went to MyComputerCareer.edu and took the free career evaluation last month. They started the year hating their job or income and did something about it. At MyComputerCareer, they can start their new life as an IT pro in months, not years. Even with zero IT experience, it's not too late, you can join them. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Classes meet on campus or live online just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
It's switch and save days at Comcast Business. Right now, when you switch to the nation's largest gig speed network, you save on fast, reliable internet. Get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for a 2-year agreement when you add 4G LTE backup and one voice mobility line. That's $600 off our regular yearly price. And if you sign up by April 7th, you'll get a $300 prepaid card, too. So don't wait. Switch to fast, reliable internet with Comcast Business and enjoy 4G LTE backup. Just one more way we take your business beyond. But hurry. Switch and save days ends April 7th. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offer ends 4/7/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. Two-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra subject to change. Prepaid offer ends 4/7/19.
Sports voice of the new Philadelphia.
And the Sixers win with a game.
97.5, the Fanatic. WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia.
A Beasley Media Group station.
The Sixers station. Now back to Mike Missanelli live from spring training in Clearwater, Florida on 97.5, the Fanatic.
4 o'clock hour. Mike Missanelli show. The game's over and the Phils lose. 5-0 New York Yankees today. Phil's only got 4 hits.
6-0.
6-0? Is that what that says? 6-0? Yeah. It is 6-0. Well, 4 hits. The lineup is not intact.
Nah.
Right? They were playing guys. I saw a guy 88 in there today.
Who was that?
I don't Michael know. Irvin? He wasn't on the roster. 66 struck out to end the game for the Phils.
Well, I don't know who that is.
It was Gift Ngopi.
Who?
It was Gift Ngopi.
Oh.
All right. So it doesn't really, but spring training really doesn't matter. But we're going to have Gabe Kapler on a little bit later, and we'll get some. We'll find out what he's going to do. Then when does he put the lineup in there? When does he let those guys play as a squad, his pitching staff, his lineup, all that good stuff will be to come in a little bit. The 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop that created jaw-dropping outdoor paradise, online at LandisBC.com. A lot of people consumed by the Sixers last night, losing to the Chicago Bulls. We were in flight for the game, but we did catch a little of it on the replay, and certainly caught the last sequence that blew the game for them. But, you know, it shouldn't get to that. You got a 10-point lead with 6 minutes to go. You really should lock that game down, and they did not do that last night.
No, you're absolutely right. Now, that player who ended the game, he was the first African-born player to make the major leagues.
So there you go. Yeah, he had an African name, Ngopi.
Yeah, he's first player. That was he played for the Pirates and the Blue Jays prior.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tyler Zuli.
Big
baseball guy. Oh, yeah, he's a big baseball guy.
All right, we'll get back to the phones in a second. But we had a little situation last night.
Yeah.
In the airplane. It delayed us an hour from getting in here. We didn't get into Clearwater until well after 1 o'clock.
Yeah,
we
need
to get back
two.
To our hotel at 2 o'clock. And the delay was that an overhead container where you put your bags was broken.
One of the hinges
was
broken. Not the lock. The lock wasn't broken. The hinge
was broken. The hinge was broken, which shut down the airplane because you can't fly with a faulty hinge, apparently. So that overhead container had my bag in it.
Well, see, no.
It didn't.
It was the one behind yours. So I put my coat. I saw where you put your bag.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay, I'll put my coat right by Mike's bag. We're good to go.
Uh-huh.
I see them noticing, and they call, and they say in the hinge. So somebody's like, just tape it down, because apparently they do this all the time.
Right.
Well, nobody on the plane had the tape. So they had to go find somebody to get
the
tape.
They had to call the maintenance crew.
Right.
They
Three people came in with their yellow vests.
Took those people 40 minutes to come. Now.
Yes.
Now, the bag, so they moved the bags out. There was tons of room in the front. Then they say, wait, if we're going to tape this one down, we have to tape that one down. So they told the people, at least, for the one that was damaged, where they were moving it.
Right.
They just grab your bag.
Yeah.
Don't say anything.
Right.
And they just start moving.
And I looked, and it looked like my bag that the flight attendant was carrying towards the front of the plane. I'm like, where the hell go my bag? I got the stuff in there.
I thought it was coming back towards me.
And you yell at me, oh, Mike, that's your bag going down the aisle. I told her, that's my bag over there. All right, it'll be in two, container two. I go, all right, whatever. But apparently you got into a little situation with them because I didn't hear it. I was ahead of you in the plane, but your wife was saying that you weren't happy with the flight attendant. Because here's what happened after the duct tape crew came in and really nailed it down.
With the duct
40
tape.
Minutes worth of duct taping. to get it right, they had to go get a logbook.
Yes.
Which was an additional 40 minutes.
Yes.
For the logbook to enter in the exact repair. Okay. And of course, these guys working on the clock, they're not rushing to get the logbook, which must have been locked away, like, you know, in some high security vault.
Yeah, with the whole
for wherever the damn logbook was. So they finally bring the logbook back, and they get it, and then, like, over an hour. But you get into a situation. Why don't you describe for the people?
So the lady comes back, and she's giving me a hard time because I asked the lady. I was like, what's taking so? Could you give us an update about what's going on with
right,
the logbook?
We're not getting any updates at all. No, right. Nobody knows what's up.
So I said this to her before we got an update because I literally think, like, okay, it's taped up. Let's go. And she's not updating us as to why we're just sitting there.
Right.
She gives me an attitude and says, sir, just sit there. Something like that. No, sorry for your inconvenience. Uh-huh. No, sorry, period. In fact, it's now my fault that this has happened the way she's talking to me. So then it comes time for us to finally take off, and I'm watching my movie. And I have my headphones, and I'm not listening to directions at this point. I'm angry. She's yelling at me about putting the tray table up. I'm like, all right, I'll put it up. If you don't put it up, we'll escort you off the plane. Before I even have a chance to lift a hand, she's got an attitude.
I can't believe you got threatened. You were threatened
you
to get escorted
off the plane.
Get escorted off the plane. Because I didn't hear her, put it up. Because I'm at this point, I'm watching the show. I'm trying to decompress. I'm angry. And it was the middle flight attendant. The person in the front that you had, very sweet. The person in the back that Natalie had, very sweet. The middle person, a complete jerk. She was a terrible person. Like we're delayed. You should have some compassion for the customer.
You would think.
Not her. Not with me. I was like, all right, I'm putting it up. We'll escort you off the plane if it's a problem.
That would have been something. I had no idea.
So I was tempted to get thrown off the plane.
I had no idea
point.
What was going on. I'm all the way in the back of the plane. And next thing you know, I'm getting text messages. Yeah. Mike's bag's getting taken out. Ty's getting restless.
Uh-huh.
I said, I thought if he would have been walked off the plane, that would have been it.
It almost happened.
Profiling.
I was like, come on.
Profiling. You look like a mean dude. That's what it is.
I was just had my headphones
in. You got a mean face.
I'm watching season 5 of Reno 911.
You got a mean face.
The guy next to I was trying to sneak into the seat next to him.
If I was a flight attendant, I'd be scared to death of you.
I went through security. Just come on and let's go. And now, I will say, though, the sweet flight attendant gave everybody free drinks.
She did. She was a nice lady.
She
was
did?
The one very
that,
nice.
She was the one that took my bag up.
Them.
Yeah,
they're
she
all
was.
Free.
She was nice.
I didn't ask.
Yeah,
I that.
I turned down a free drink last night.
Drinks for free on
yeah,
the
floor.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay. Just
free.
Oh, I missed out.
A Diet Coke. All right, we have one open line, 610-622-0975. Let's go to Max in Philly. Max, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Max.
What's going on, Mike?
What's going on, Max?
Not much. I should be talking baseball in Clearwater, but sadly, I got to address Brett Brown.
That's okay. It's all right. Game's over.
Right. And then, well, I guess I have a million problems. I'm going to try to narrow it down. Mm-hmm. Number one problem is that he's not malleable enough. And actually, I got that from you when I talked to you a little while ago. And it goes back to last year. Y'all brought up the Miami and the Boston series. But during those series, I didn't think he should be fired, but I saw some things I didn't like. And it gets carried over to the Boston, and then we end up losing. And then this year, I guess it comes down to my next biggest problem with him is our offense. I really don't think it should be based around a 34-year-old. There's no problem with JJ. I just think his legs can't take it, and at this pace of 2 years, we run around him. I feel like he should play more like the Warriors, where the open man gets the bucket. We got enough guys, especially in the starting five, where it shouldn't matter who takes the shot. And we should have an offense that, you know, caters to keeping the defense on the hills, and they don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I don't like that dribble handoff offense either, and I thought it was going to be more of an emotion offense with guys, you know, everybody touching the ball and everybody doing their part to score because they can all score.
Exactly.
I don't know what to expect at this point. I'm kind of down on the prospects of them beating both Toronto and Milwaukee.
My gut feeling is that he can't. But he can prove me wrong because I said I wasn't going to say anything to the playoffs, but he can keep losing games that we shouldn't lose. And he's just like, keep the. Like last night, I don't know why Amir Johnson wasn't playing instead of Mike Scott. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I feel like he's must have.
I thought Mike Scott was a better defender on the perimeter than Amir Johnson.
But he was defending Robin Lopez, and I feel like Amir would have played that. But anyway, I know.
Well, they were going to switch. So if they were going to switch, then Mike Scott's probably a more mobile defender than Amir Johnson.
But as far as last night, I kind of blame the players, too. I'm not. I can't lie. Jimmy looks like he doesn't feel what the coach is saying when he comes out of huddles or sometimes. Not feeling his body.
Well, you saw the social media report last night where they were called back onto the floor, and he said loudly to somebody, "We better call a better damn play than that last one."
Right, right.
And they didn't throw the alley-oop pass. They gave it to Butler, who bobbled it, by the way.
Exactly.
He would have got a shot off if he didn't bobble it.
Yeah, I'm tired of Jimmy being this interested to the fourth quarter. I'm tired of Ben not taking over when he should. It's the player's fault, too. But I think that could lead to us losing Jimmy if Brett Brown stays, because it doesn't look like he's feeling it. He's not drinking the Kool-Aid of Brett Brown. Like, he's just like he's not all the way in.
Yeah.
He's outside looking in.
I got you. All right, man. Thank you. Brett Brown, culprit number one in this town. Tim Legler will join us a little later. We'll flesh that out with Tim a little bit. Jeff in New York. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff.
Yo, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Jeff?
If you guys were MacGyver, you could have probably done it yourselves. You would have had some duct tape, and you could have strapped it up, and no one ever would have known.
Yeah, I know. Listen, now we didn't take off till real late.
I know. Tyrone was really upset. So
yeah, he was.
He was tweeting out
the circumstances.
I know. And like, I kept following him on Twitter just to, like, get more of his heated head. I thought his head was going to, like, pop off his shoulder.
Yeah, he wasn't happy.
No, hey, he wasn't.
I was just watching Narcos Mexico. I was good.
Yeah, you were. Hold on. I thought you were supposed to watch Tom Hanks.
No, well, we didn't download it in time.
Okay.
We got to download it.
You better have the honor system.
Yeah, I'm going to download it at the hotel.
Okay, as for Haddonfield and the perfect thing, the Purple House, I grew up there. It's a great place to live, and, you know, you can shrug your shoulders or, you know, roll your eyes, but there is a Purple House in Haddonfield, and the Purple House is actually on the tour. If you do the historical tour, there's a Purple House there. The only ordinances are for alcohol, and you can't cut down the trees. They're very upset about the trees. So if that tells you anything, you can paint your house whatever the hell you want.
I thought you couldn't paint the color. You had to get it.
No, that's not correct.
Or is that Haddon Heights?
It could be Heights. Tyrone, we're South Jersey.
Maybe it's Haddon Heights.
I don't think you can do that. But what I'm saying is, if you go down, and Ty knows where it is, if you go down Kings Highway, there's a Purple House. But let's not spend too much time on that. If he wants to move there, ready. Number one ranked academic school, South Jersey. Number ranked athletics, South Jersey. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a good place to live. He's 20 minutes.
It's a great place for white people to live.
You said it out loud. A lot of people. A lot of the word is. I don't know if it's true, because I don't live in Haddonfield. I love Bordentown. I love growing up in Pennsauken. But I heard that if you are black, you are kind of advised not to go to Haddonfield. That's what I was always told.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't mean it's true, but that is the word that's out there. So there you go. And they had that incident last year at Haddonfield.
They did.
That
they had that,
that
right.
He should come to Fishtown.
Yes.
I'm still campaigning for Fishtown.
Yeah. I actually think... that Rittenhouse is probably the favorite. Because that's where they're all going now.
He's coming to the
Fish. Bryce going to live in a high rise?
I think he's going to end up in Rittenhouse. That's where they all are now. Mm-hmm.
I'll see him at La Colombe.
Yeah,
wearing a beanie.
And then when the family comes along, he'll suburb it.
Yeah.
Wayne in Florida, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Wayne.
Hey, what's going on, Mike? Welcome down to Florida,
Wayne?
Buddy.
How you doing?
I'm over on the East Coast here in Pompano, so.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, right on. So I wanted to talk Sixers, but after listening to you talking to Bryce and Reese Hoskins, I really kind of want to talk Phillies now. You kind of got me hyped up now.
Okay.
And Bryce Harper, I really never had a good feeling about that guy, but wow, does he come off like just such a good dude down home?
Yes, he does. And for people that didn't hear the interview, we're going to replay it in the 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah, I mean, even his voice, I was expecting something like, I was expecting more of a, I don't even know what I was expecting, but just, he just, his voice even just comes off such like a good dude, you know, and
well, he's definitely really won the town over so far.
Yeah, no, he's saying all the right things, and I can't wait for Saturday to see how that goes, and kudos to you for having him in there and talking to you guys and letting us be able to hear him. I think that was awesome, man.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's he was really a nice guy. I love watching him in that simulated game. I like what he did. He made it a special point. He's there with minor leaguers, right? After every pitcher threw, he was in a group of three hitters, and he dropped his bat. He went up to the pitcher coming off the mound, shook his hand, had some things to say to him, like probably saying like, "Good, you have good stuff. Keep it up." The whole bit.
Great, man. Thanks, Mike, for keeping us in the loop up here, man. The Phillies fans up there, I'm down there with you.
All right, man. You got it. All right, appreciate it. Let's go Kevin in LaSalle. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Hey, Mike, wanted to just talk about Brett Brown, and while I don't hate this man, I am growing increasingly concerned, one, with the number of double-digit leads that we have lost. Just not regular leads, but double-digit leads. You know, that's a 17-win Bulls team that we played last night.
Yep.
And I'm really confused because 3 weeks ago we played the Houston Rockets. We did a really nice job against Harden. We doubled him I don't know how many times in the second half. And last night on an inbounds play with 4 seconds to go, I'm just completely confused how we don't double him. Instead, we leave him completely open on the handoff for a guy who's 7'1" and will not even look at the basket. You know, he's 30 feet from the basket. I'm baffled that we walked out of a timeout.
I didn't get a chance to hear what Brett Brown had to say about that. How did he explain that?
He just said, that's an environment. That's the word he used. That's an environment where we typically switch. But yes, when dude has 37 already and he has cooked you for the whole fourth quarter and you would double other people, why would you not double this guy and say somebody else is going to make a shot to beat us? It's just insane to me. So those are the kinds of things that concern me. My biggest concern is this. The really good coaches know how to steal some games. We're not stealing any games. That's been a pattern for a while. In fact, we're losing games that really, like last night, we have to win that game. So if I have a concern for Brett Brown, just from a pure basketball perspective, there's some guys in this league that can steal games. He's not one of those guys.
All right. Well, you had your say. I can't disagree with anything you're saying. The people are not happy today with that loss and with the head coach of the 76ers. 610-632-0975. We still have Tim Legler. We still have Gabe Kapler
coming
up.
We're going to have to move Legler because Kapler will be on the other side of this break.
Oh, Gabe's coming up on the other side of this break?
Yes, sir.
All right. So the manager of the Phillies will be here in about 5 minutes right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
All right, it's 4:28, Mike Mussinelli Show. We're live, Spectrum Field, in the Visitors TV booth, and the manager, the Skip, has joined us after the Phils-Yanks game today, Gabe Kapler. Welcome, Gabe. How you feeling?
Mike, I'm feeling really good. Really excited about the new additions to our ball club and the way our roster's shaping up, and probably most importantly, the effort level that we're getting from our guys.
Actually, you're not feeling good. You get a little cold, man.
It's a little cold. Not that big
of a deal. Summer cold or spring training cold?
It'll be in and out. Tomorrow will be great. We're going to Orlando to play the Braves for a night game tomorrow. So I have plenty of time to get my energy levels up.
Yes. Now, we're talking about the team and the way it is right now. And you're okay with the way you guys have been playing, but one of the things that's been holding it back offensively, I guess, is that you're not having all your guys on at the same time because you're trying to look at a lot of guys, obviously.
Yeah, it's the nature of spring training, right? You never get your full roster in there for a full game. So by the time the fifth inning rolls around, you look around the diamond and you have guys with number 87 and 95 on their back with no names on them, right? And there's a reason for that. It's because you want to get McCutchen a couple of at-bats and get him out of the game and get him off his feet. And as you get closer to the tail end of spring training, you see McCutchen play back-to-back-to-back games, and that's all to build him up and get him ready for opening day. So particularly at the outset of camp, mostly what we pay attention to is the fundamentals of the game. Are we executing our bunt defenses? Are we taking crisp turns around the bases? Are defenders throwing to the right bases in the outfield? And those are the kind of things that we're paying most attention to right now.
You are sitting on a little different situation than you were last year.
You think?
Yes. Last year was kind of a transition year, feeling your way, feeling who you had.
Yeah.
This year you got some players.
Yeah, and, you're right.
Yeah, I'm just curious to know like how that sits with you from one completely different situation to the other where people are looking at you now as contenders.
Well, first and foremost, if you look back to last year, we had a lot of optimism about if our players took one step forward, we could win a lot of games. And then we get to the middle of the summer, we're in first place. But what you saw is that you guys got a little bit tired, right? You got a little bit closer to the end. Nobody had ever been there before. So now you get additions to the roster like Gene Segura and Andrew McCutchen. Rhys Hoskins goes back to his natural position at first base. You add David Robertson and Alvarez in the bullpen. And finally, the icing on the cake, you add Bryce Harper. Now you've got this roster, plus you've had the experience of having been in the middle of the summer in a playoff race. So all of those things combined make it a very different feeling this year in Clearwater than we had last year.
What was the plan when you finished last year? You're sitting around with the brass and everything. Are you targeting, we need this, we need this, we need this, we need this? Is that the way it works?
I think first and foremost, we knew we needed to improve our defense. We had a good young pitching staff. We knew that Jake Arrieta was going to be even better in 2019 than he was in 2018. He's going to get more ground balls. So now we knew we needed to improve our defense. We did that by freeing up first base for Rhys and putting Andrew McCutchen, a guy who can play center field, in left field. Then Segura adds that kind of solidified everyday defense at shortstop. We know we can play Scott Kingery and Michael Franco at third base. So now we're going to catch those ground balls that Aaron Nola and Jake Arrieta and Nick Pivetta, who's turned into more of a ground ball pitcher than he had been previously. We're going to gobble up those ground balls. Balls are going to go up in the outfield. We're going to get those balls too. So the first thing that we wanted to do was address the defense, and I think we did that very well.
All right. The two big free agents were out there. It was no secret that you were going to try to get one of them. How does that affect you as a manager? Because it's two completely different mindsets. If you get Machado, it's a third base situation. Sure. You're going to have to deal with the outfield situation. You get Harper, you got to deal with the third base situation. What side were you on the whole time?
Well, I'll tell you, when we acquired Bryce Harper, I think we did a number of things. The first thing we did is we added one of the more elite bats in Major League Baseball to our roster. If you look back to 2015, he was so head and shoulders above the rest of the league offensively that we get to dream on that. And the reason we get to dream on it is because he's in his mid-20s. So it's not like that year is behind him. I don't think that we've even seen Bryce Harper's best year. The other thing that we get is a hustle, a grit, a determination, a tenacity that I think the fans of Philadelphia, certainly as the manager of this club, we're all going to really appreciate.
Well, I turned the city on its ear. Now, you hadn't been in Philadelphia, but we went from lamenting the fact because the news had come in that you were now going to lose them to like that, all of a sudden you sign them. And I've never seen a reaction like it. I mean, this is the most marquee free agent that has ever come to this city.
Well, I think, you know, John Middleton and the Buck family, our ownership group, stepped up to the plate and gave us the opportunity to go get Bryce. I know Matt Klentak spent countless hours looking at this from every possible angle and figuring out where our line was and went after Bryce Hart at just the right time. And it was an incredible effort to land one of the game's best players.
And you were out there also. So tell me about that meeting.
You know, that was just a
lot of misinformation came out of that meeting, by the way. We wouldn't know what to believe.
Yeah, I mean, look, like I have always had a high level of respect for Bryce Harper, even before we went out to Las Vegas and spent a little time with him. Just watching him from across the diamond, being in the first base dugout, and the Nationals are in the third base dugout at Citizens Bank Park. I watch the competitor that he is in the batter's box. I watch the competitor he is in the outfield and on the bases, and you want to be around that. And since spending time with him and getting to know him even more, both in Las Vegas and in our clubhouse here in Clearwater, you learn that he's intelligent, he's cultured, he cares deeply about the team. He doesn't want to be the one guy that the spotlight is always on, although he understands that the cameras are going to flash and the lights are going to be bright when he's around. But he really wants the attention on his teammates. He really wants to be considered a part of this team, and we're moving in that direction.
Well, did that surprise you? Because it surprised a lot of people. We had him on. He's such a soft-spoken, nice guy. He killed the press conference. I mean, he said all the right things, and people had this perception in Philly, he's this bratty guy. I don't want a guy like Harper, blah, blah, blah. We knew him as an opponent, as this guy that we really didn't know
right.
as the soft-spoken guy. So tell me more about him as a guy.
Well, one thing that I...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't know what a player is like until you peel back the curtain. I'll give you an example, and then we can circle back to Bryce Harper. When I was in the opposing dugout as a Detroit Tiger, and we went and we played the Boston Red Sox, and I saw Jason Veritek, I hated him. I thought he was a jerk. I thought he was a bad teammate and a jerk. And then I played with him, and I thought he was the greatest teammate ever. It just when you're on somebody's team, you get to know them very well. As a person, I think Bryce is thoughtful, he's a great listener, and he really wants what's best for the team.
All right, let's talk about the lineup, because I'm going to pin you down here.
You can try.
Last year, you experimented a lot with the lineup, you had guys in different spots, trying to get the best out of it. This looks like a pretty staid lineup. Like you can tack a lineup on the board and just leave it there and go back in your office.
That's you pinning me down?
No. I'm just saying.
That's a softball.
What I'm asking you is, here's my lineup. And you tell me if this is the lineup. McCutchen, Segura, Harper, Hoskins, Realmuto, Herrera, Franco, Hernandez.
It's not crazy. Is that it? That's a really good lineup construction. And your point is strong. We don't have to tinker as much, right? Realmuto is going to play almost every day. Rhys Hoskins is going to play almost every day. So is Caesar. So is Gene Segura. So is McCutchen. So is Harper. So these guys are going to be in the lineup every day. They're also going to settle into a comfort zone. So there's not going to be as much need to mix and match and tinker as you guys saw last year, which I totally understand why that was difficult. But we had to take every tactical advantage that we could. So that's why we were doing all the mixing and matching and tinkering, because we didn't have another choice. If we wanted to win a lot of baseball games, we had to look at every last detail, every single matchup. Now we can optimize for the comfort of our players. So let's say we think Bryce Harper fits very well in the four spot, but Bryce feels best in the three spot. That's okay. We can think about Harper's best emotional space. We can think about Rhys Hoskins' best confident space, and then we can create the lineup accordingly.
Have you had that conversation with Bryce where he feels more comfortable?
We have talked about it a little bit, and I'm not going to share the details of those conversations, mm-hmm. but you know, I can tell you that he's going to hit somewhere in the middle of our lineup, and he's going to do very well wherever we put him.
So he's not going to be your two hitter. You have a affection for the two hitter. He's not your two hitter.
I'm not saying he's not. what I'm saying is that at this very moment in time, I see him fitting in into the middle of the lineup, and I could very well see the lineup that you...
I have the opening day lineup? Did I just put that out there?
The lineup that you mentioned, guy for guy, mm-hmm. I don't think you're far off.
Okay. Let's talk about the staff a little bit. Arrieta looked great, and he said he got the three-quarter release back, and his sinker was just like, and he looks great physically. So the concern, obviously, in Philadelphia is what you do 3-4-5. You got four guys there. There are some rumors that you could add another guy. How do you feel right now about 3-4-5 and how it matches with your bullpen?
So, assuming you're talking about Pavetta, Eflin, and Velasquez.
Or certainly
Eichhoff in that mix. And if you watch Drew Anderson pitch today, you know, there might be some people, given the fact that he's added a cutter, he's really firing the ball in that inside lane with his four-seam fastball, he's dropping his curveball in there for a strike, that he can make a case for a rotation spot at some point as well. Between the three starters, Pavetta, Eflin, and Velasquez, all three of them have the stuff out of hand, the velocity to be aces. And I mean that. I mean, I stood behind the screen on a Vince Velasquez live batting practice session, and I said, this guy's got some of the best stuff in the league. If you ask JT Realmuto, the guy that he remembers from across the dugout when he's playing for the Marlins and he's facing him, he said, Vince Velasquez has nasty, nasty stuff. We saw Eflin in the month of June be one of the better pitchers in baseball. If you look around the league, the guy that most teams clamor for is Nick Pavetta. So all three of those guys have the upside, the ceiling of being top of the rotation starters. And I think that's why we feel most confident. Going back to Eichhoff, this is a curveball that we saw at the end of the year last year can be devastating. I want to say he struck out like six, seven batters in a row his last start of the season. And it was just curveball after curveball. And it wasn't a scrub lineup. This was the Atlanta Braves. And they had put together a pretty good lineup. So all of these guys are capable of doing great things.
What do they have to show you for the rest of spring training before you decide who's where?
You mean where they slot?
Where they stand, where they slot.
What they need to show is the tenacity and the grit, the determination. And, you know, Eichhoff, his most important factor, and we've been really taking it one step at a time with Eichhoff, is health. You know, he's had a rough year as it relates to staying healthy. The thing that separates him right now from being the best version of himself is just being healthy and strong. So that's what we need to optimize for with him. With Vince, it's relying on his four-seam fastball. He has been especially effective at the top of the zone with his four-seam fastball against right-handers and left-handers. And I'll give you a little number that I always get excited about. He threw 800-plus four-seam fastballs to right-handed hitters last year. He gave up zero home runs on that pitch. So what that tells me is this guy can attack the zone with his four-seam fastball. And so that's one of the things that we're looking for with him.
All right, 13 pitchers you'll have?
We'll most likely break with 13 pitchers.
So that's four extra players, the catcher, Kingery, and who are the other two who fit best right now, do you think? You went on righty off the bench or left-handed off the bench? I mean, I'm talking about Nick Williams and Altair and Quinn.
Yeah, well, the first thing we need to do is determine where Quinn is on the health spectrum. And Odubel as well. You know, Odubel's been sick for the last couple of days. He's had the flu. And he's had a little hamstring issue. So he's kind of similar to Eichhoff. We need to see that he's healthy and strong. So we're going to ask him to do that. And then Quinn, he had the little oblique pull when we were over in Tampa facing the Yankees. And we want to see him get to be 100%. The roster decisions, it's just way too early, Mike. I mean, we're in, you know, early March. And as we get closer to the end of camp, I'll give you a better answer on those.
Well, what pressure are you feeling now that you have this kind of a team?
It's the best. It's the absolute best. Because now we're going to be judged on wins and losses between the lines. And last year, there were so many other things that were kind of telling the story. But I know that come the middle of the summer, and I know come September, and I know come the playoffs, the only thing that's going to matter is how many games we won. And I'm especially excited about that. That's the kind of bar that players, staff, front office, we all want that. We want to be judged on wins and losses.
The last question, you spent most of the offseason in Philly. And I know you had the house situation in California. What did you get out of spending the offseason here this year?
Well, first of all, I love Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes, for a while, I would go back home to Southern California, and I would say, I'm really enjoying my time in Southern California. And then towards the end of the offseason, I couldn't wait to get back to Philadelphia because it felt like home. So I'm starting to feel like this is my place. I'm starting to know the streets better. I'm starting to know the restaurants better. I'm starting to know the people better. And I'm starting to develop roots and develop alliances, and that feels really good.
And
frankly,
your neighbors with Natalie in Fishtown, right?
Yeah, Natalie's in Fishtown.
You hanging out at Soraya these days?
Well, I don't I don't mean to correct you here, but I believe it's pronounced Soraya.
Oh, it's Soraya? That's number one. I'm sorry. But Soraya.
I live down the street and I got it wrong.
Really? Okay,
but look, I'm not 100% sure. And then there's some other great restaurants, both in Northern Liberties, Old City, and Fishtown for sure, that are within walking distance.
Murph's Bar?
So I've heard a lot about Murph's, but I have not been there. The thing I've heard about Murph's is that kind of hole in the wall, mom and pop, but just sensational steaks and sensational Italian food for an Irish bar.
Yes.
So I will find my way into Murph's and have a big bowl of some sort of pasta at some point.
All right. Well, you got your boy in the lineup on Saturday. Where's he hitting?
He'll hit third on Saturday.
He'll hit third on Saturday.
Yes.
All right. So we'll see.
Just for you.
Will we see the starting team Saturday with Bryce in the lineup?
You'll see some of our guys.
All right.
Yeah.
Gabe, thanks for coming up, man.
Mike.
Appreciate it. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right. There he is. Gabe Kapler, the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back after this on the Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, yeah, it's a big day in the Clearwater, Florida area for the show. A lot of interesting guests. Gabe Kapler committed to hitting Bryce Harper third on Saturday. Got that out of him at least. But most people want to talk about the Sixers. The broadcast today is made possible by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin, providing contractors throughout the Delaware Valley with equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. And they do a wonderful job. All right, let's get back to the phones. All right, let's talk to Chuck in New York. What's up, Chuck?
Well, Mike.
How you doing, Chuck?
I'm doing all right. You know, as Gabe would probably say, that the Sixers are not presenting beautifully right now.
Yes.
And, I'm the guy that defends Brett, and I can't. He's made it impossible. You know, the carelessness with which they play in the fourth quarter, the sloppiness with the ball, the playing down to inferior opponents. They've lost at least six games against inferior opponents. And the blowing of leads every single game. And that falls at the feet of the coach and nobody else. And I'm totally convinced now that he was the right guy when they were winning 20 games a year. But he is never going to be the guy to lead them to a championship. And as the window doesn't stay open forever, and I'm afraid they are wasting time if they keep this guy around.
Well,
That's all I got to say.
I'm inclined to agree with you right now because there's some things that are going on that shouldn't go on. But again, Embiid's not in the lineup, and you have to see how this team performs in the playoffs. They're going to have a playoff tune-up series. Like when they play that fifth seed or sixth seed, that is going to be a series of tune-ups to see if they can get it together for the real series, which is to come. If they look bad against Toronto, there's no question in my mind that he's not going to keep his job.
Well, you're assuming they're going to get that third seed, and blowing games like last night makes that even more difficult. If they're the fourth seed, they're in trouble.
I think it's almost impossible for them not to get the third seed, to be honest with you. Like, I can't see Indiana winning that many games. And the Sixers do have a favorable schedule, so I'm holding on to the third seed. If they get the fourth seed and have to play Boston, then, you know, my heart's in my throat.
Yeah. And they didn't make all these moves to go out in the first round.
No. He'd be in trouble. He's definitely in trouble.
Thanks, Mike.
I mean, the owner said as much. Yeah. Indiana Pacers, 20th. What's one game?
Right. And they're 10-point underdogs tonight to the Bucks.
Yeah,
so there'd be a half game by the end of the night.
It would be impossible for the Sixers not to get that third seed.
And the other part, if you look at the schedule, the Sixers have already had their West Coast trip. The Pacers still have their West Coast trip ahead. They still are at Golden State and at Portland on back-to-back nights, still coming up on their schedule. The Sixers have no situation like that left. They just don't.
Boston rallies to the point where they get the fourth seed, Boston is going to have to play Indiana, which is going to take a little more out of them. They're not going to play Boston.
They went to seven games last year.
Let's go to Wade in Chester. Wade, you're on. Oh, wait. Actually, do we have a break? Is it break time?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's time for a break. Wade, you'll be our first caller in the 5 o'clock hour. And then if you didn't hear Bryce Harper a little earlier on the show, you're going to hear that at 5:10 today. So if you're just getting out of work, didn't hear Bryce, you're here at 5:10 right here on the Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.